We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Every guy looks better and feels more comfortable when he puts on a suit. There's one problem. Guys keep buying generic off-the-rack suits. That's why Blue Wire is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new suit. Indochino is the world's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Looking to get married? Actually, our producer, Brian, is getting married, and they have a ton of options for those looking to outfit their wedding party. I will absolutely be there, as I'm the best man. And it's so easy to get started. Visit a stylist at one of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America and have them take your measurements personally, or measure yourself at home and shop online at Indochino.com. This week, Miami Heat Beat listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping's free. And that's always a plus. So that's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire for any premium suit that's just $369 and free shipping. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas, and with me today is producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hello, sorry for being late.
Brian is late. Brian promised us 5 to 10 minutes, and that became 20 minutes.
I made shrimp scampi, and it took too long.
Also with me today is our Saucy Nuggets insider, Mr. Lefty Leif.
Yo, I am so happy there's no 3-game West Coast trip this week.
So happy. Oh my God, this is rough staying up late. Leif, tell people, I know you changed your at recently. Tell people where to find you, because I know that maybe some people might be confused. Maybe they look for Lefty Leif and they can't find it.
Yeah, so Lefty underscore Leif is still secure as a locked account, so no one can impersonate me. But no, you can find me at Greg Sylvander, which is my government name, GREGSYLVANDER.
There you have it, folks. Follow the... He beat Shams on the Deion suspension story by a couple seconds. Never forget. Also
who?
With us...
Who did he beat?
Shams.
I think it's Shams.
Is it Shams?
Like Shamwell? Shams.
I think it's Shams. They say Shams when on the athletic pods. When I listen to the Daily Ding, they say Shams. I stand with Dave Dufour.
Tomato, tomato.
Touche.
Whatever Dave says, I listen. Also with us today, that laugh you hear, is Nikias Duncan, our statistician and pun master.
Hello. The word of the day is consolidation. We'll talk about it.
Oh, I'm excited for that. There's tons to get to. The Heat go 1-2 on their West Coast trip, beating the mighty, mighty Phoenix Suns and losing to the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I don't want to go through the entire road trip game by game because we all kind of know how that went. But I do want to get into kind of how we feel about this team 10 game, like 9 games in, right? So they're going to play their 10th game tomorrow against Detroit. And they have a relatively softish schedule coming up. That road trip was pretty brutal. All three of those teams right now are in the playoffs, right? And there was a back-to-back, you know, Phoenix, which was a physical game. The starters played, even though the Heat were leading double digits almost the whole way, the starters pretty much played up until the final buzzer. And then, you know, you get the Lakers third games, 4 nights, second night of a back-to-back, and they kind of lost steam in the second half. You totally expect that out of a group in those situations. But I thought they played well considering. They're fourth in the East above Philadelphia right now. Their defense is really good. I think we still have questions about the offense. We were talking, Leif, Nikias, and I, before the show, like, what are the things that we actually know, right? So I think we know that Jimmy Butler's good. Fair, gentlemen?
Yeah, I think he's quite good at the basketball, yes.
We think he's quite good at the basketball. We think that Goran is good in this role. Like, we like the role that Goran's in.
It's about time.
Right, yeah. Bam has taken a step, and I think we're all comfortable that this step has been taken. It's not going to regress.
A step, a leap.
A leap.
He's taken a leap.
Are we calling it a leap or a Nikias, leap or step?
I would call it a leap.
Until he starts making more threes, it's a step.
I think it's a leap because the free throws is a lot, man. Like the getting to the line.
He keeps
the way
missing
he does.
Two free throws every like 4 times he's at the free throw line.
And that's Nikias, they obviously have not read your latest column that highlights the players that are averaging what he's averaging in the short list that is.
Yeah. So 14-9-4. Excuse me. 12-9-4-1-1. It's Bam. It's Giannis. And it is Carl Anthony Towns.
Okay. That was close.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's kind of it.
That is quite elite company. I mean, I've harped on this a lot on this show, but like the free throw jump, he's taking like 5 more free throws than he was last year. That's freaking ridiculous, right? And I know we're 9 games in and it's not a big sample. By the way, he's played all 9 games this season. He played all 82 games last season. So like, this is a guy that's really durable. He's starting every game. Like, Brian, I know that you want to say step. I'm comfortable saying leap.
You're the same guy that thought he wasn't even good.
I didn't say that he wasn't good. He said that he was the guy that I would most likely want to include for a trade over Justice Winslow. And I think, Leif, I don't know if I talked to you about this, but I know that Nikias and I talked about this. He's the second best player on the team, right? Like, I know that earlier we were probably saying Justice, but it's clearly Bam, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think just the impact defensively, and all around, you know, you got a big man who can get 5 assists a game. That's becoming transcended as a passer, as a big. And he's 22 years old. And so, I mean, they've always thought of him as the guy who had the highest ceiling out of all of these young guys that they had when it was Josh and it was Justice and Bam. Bam's always been the guy that they thought could be, you know, kind of in a whole nother class. And I don't know that he'll ever get there. But he definitely, I think, safely is the second best player on the team. Although, you know, Goran Dragic may have something to say about that, the way he's played the last week and a half or so.
So, Nikias, we were talking before and we were pulling up some numbers. Goran is in the 94th percentile in isolation, which is like, again, small sample size. He's 6-for-9. So, small sample. Nice. Yeah, thank
nice.
You.
Nice.
I was waiting for that. but I mean, he's been really great in this role and they're playing like, I know that it's been rough for him defensively, but I think that they have enough good defenders around him to kind of mask it. And they're not really like getting killed. Like when he's I love him in that role.
I'm still a little worried about him defensively. He looks worse and
he's getting older.
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't look markedly worse considering he's playing against more second units was kind of my thing, but like, yeah, he's been great. He has really developed his shot off the dribble, which has kind of been in the works for the last couple of years. But now he's knocking down step backs fluidly. He's hit a couple of deep ones in the last week, the closeout quarters. I think both closed out the third quarter, if I remember correctly, but, yeah, the fact that he's shooting off the dribble now has kind of opened him up more in pick and roll, and he's having an easier time getting to the rim, and he's finishing a little bit better. We saw some slippage last year, but more of a space floor. He's getting better looks. He's converting them. He looks good. He looks spry.
So I have a question. So to your point, when Dragic is on the floor, the Heat have a defense of 106 defensive rating. When he's off the floor, the defensive rating is 90.
That is a 15-point difference. The offense is at 107 when he's on and 101 when he's off.
So he's a net negative. That's cool.
So the question is going to become at some point, is he valuable enough to the team as presently constructed to hold on to him and not utilize his $20 million expiring contract to either move off of a salary or make a move to get even better? You know, I think we kind of all went into this. I at least assumed Dragic as most likely to be dealt, but it's weird when he's assuming kind of this role offensively. But then you look at a number like that and it makes me hesitate.
I think that part of that is small sample. Like, I don't think that the defense is going to be like that crazy great every time he sits. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a little funky numbers. And I think that Houston, like, because it's only been 9 games and that Houston game was such an aberration of just destruction, that I think that tilts all the numbers. Like, their defensive rating, their offensive, like, everything was kind of like, I almost wish I could like remove the Houston game from that.
Remove the Houston, remove the Denver game too while you're at it.
I guess, yeah, it kind of evens out, but I think that'll kind of bear out a little bit. The thing, and Justice being out kind of forces them to use Goran a little more because they're kind of like out of ball handler, which I think that, by the way, that's kind of like something that's not really talked about in that road trip, that I know they won in Phoenix without him, but I really think he would have helped in the LA game. Bam, by the way, at 22 years old, is guarding Anthony Davis and LeBron like in the same game, which is like pretty insane, and like doing like not a bad job at it.
He's so good. Like, this is an all defensive type year for him.
Do you think he's going to get it? Because, like, I don't know. You know how, like, I think it's really tough when you're a big because there's so much competition.
If the Heat are
top four, if the Heat are top four in the East, he'll get it.
You're right. Exactly.
Brian, you don't think that they'll give it to, like, an all-star guy? Like, I think Dre's probably, like, not going to win it, like, get that spot this year. But, like,
I think it's going to be equal parts, like, national media outside of Lowe leading to know who he is, for one. The second thing is what they're going to list him as on the ballot, which we're looking far down the line here. But they list him as a forward since he's technically been the forward alongside Myers Leonard. I think that gets a little easier for him since there are like 4 forward spots available between the 2 teams versus 2 centers. So that could help some. It's going to be a lot. But if he keeps
Embiid's probably going to get it. Like,
yeah. I have to admire our podcast for going through all defensive team selections. 10 games, 9 games into the season. 9 games in,
baby!
That is getting ahead of ourselves in great fashion.
I said he's going to play all 82. So I asked Nikias for a number. We've been a little stat heavy early. We're gonna get to the fun. It's just, you know, we're trying to get a sense of who the hell this team is. We're 9 games in. They're 4th in the East. We're feeling pretty good about them. There's some stuff I'm a little concerned about. Some stuff I'm really optimistic about.
Yeah, we got like 6 guys on the injury report as of today.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot going on right now. There's some sort of edible scandal going on. There's a guy that's concussed that's important.
It's not edible scandal. It's gummies.
It's a gummy scandal. Aren't gummies edibles?
I can confirm.
Okay, thank you. there's a lot. You know what? This team, there's a lot going on. And they played Detroit. Blake Griffin's probably going to be back. And
he might not play because it's a back-to-back.
Yes!
It doesn't matter. We have enough.
There you go.
Always. I was asking Dekaius for this number earlier.
Load management, guys.
We're talking about Bam and how good he's been defensively. And I've been wondering because I think Justice, the offense has been a little shaky. I think the 3-point shooting has... It looks a little off. The numbers would show that he looks confident offensively, like going to the basket and stuff, but the shot's not there, and it's a little concerning at times. But I asked Nikias for the numbers of when Winslow and Bam are on the court together versus when they're not. And when Bam and Winslow are on the court, they have a defensive rating of 92. And when Winslow's off and Bam's on, they have a defensive rating of 103. So, like, that's insane. Like, those two guys being the cornerstone of your defense with Jimmy Butler there as well, that's so enormous. And I think that one of the things we do know is that their defense is good. And they're, like, the way that they play, the way that they fight across screens. I like that they're switching a lot more this season than last. I feel like that's interesting. Do you think that's a product of, like, Jimmy being here or the fact that Hassan's not here?
I would say it's that and also not having Goran in your starting lineup.
That's true. That helps justice. Justice makes that a lot more seamless.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can do a lot more of that stuff. And I think they're still trying not to switch like the one five pick and roll stuff. So like you have Kendrick Nunn kind of sliding through screens, and you have Bam dropping and kind of blow things up. Well, not even Bam. It'd be Myers Leonard dropping, drops a little too far, but that's a whole nother thing.
Isn't that called a hedge, Nikias?
You said what?
Is that a hedge?
According no, the 2K, hedge would be if Myers Leonard steps up at the level of the screen. Okay. That would be, yeah.
So that's what you show on the pick and roll, Brian.
There you go.
Terminology.
But yeah, like 1 through 4, they're doing a lot of switching. I think it's a little surprising, but it's been fine. I guess you kind of knew going into the year that Miami's going to be a good defense, especially once you take Gorin out of the starting lineup. But
I feel that kind of helps. Like, so the Heat are really good at forcing turnovers. They're second in the league at forcing opponent turnovers. And I think that the switching kind of helps for that, because it kind of, you add a little bit of that chaotic element of bodies moving like laterally and to you. And Jimmy's so good with his hands, and Justice is so smart. And like they have, and Bam is long, and they have so many guys that are Tyler has like surprisingly quick hands.
He does have quick hands. Devin Booker. Everything else we'll see, but he does.
How have you felt? Okay, let's get into this. How have you felt, Leif? You too. Like, how have you felt about Tyler defensively? Because I've been like a little back and forth. I think he's been better than I thought, but at times I'm like,
Me personally, I think it's tied to his offense. He's one of those players that when he's playing well offensively, he gets a little bit of fire defensively. He gets lost a little bit too because of celebrating and kind of getting in the moment. But so I'm not so concerned. I obviously see that there's going to be moments he's picked on, and I think we've identified that from the beginning. But you got a rookie getting 14 a game. There was a time where, like, when Caron Butler got 14 a game, he was like third in rookie of the year voting. And I don't even feel like Hero is necessarily having a rookie of the year type season. And he's still getting, 13, 14 a game. So I don't know if that's a product of just scoring being up, but there's a lot to look at and be positive.
He hasn't been as big of an issue defensively as I thought he would be. Like, he's been fine, mostly positionally. Struggles tracking over screens sometimes. Struggles with penetration against quicker guards. Both of those things are things that we kind of knew coming in. Like, the Houston game got pretty ugly for him. But as far as doing what you're supposed to do or knowing where you're supposed to be, it's been fine. And, like, when we saw in the Phoenix game once, when he's dialed in and Miami's kind of dialing up those traps and stuff too, you can see him flash those hands a little bit. Those back-to-back turnovers for Devin Booker towards the end of that Suns game where they were showing high with Bam. I think that was, Hero at his best, really kind of getting into the dribble there and Bam closing the deal. So, like, Tyler hasn't been awful, so that's good.
He hasn't been awful, so that's good.
It's like the more that we're ahead, it's almost like a front-running defensive specialist. Like, he's a better defender on the bigger run that we're on, and the more that we're ahead.
He needs the swag.
Like Duncan Robinson, but on offense.
Dude, Duncan's been good. Okay, I've been so surprised. I'm like, damn. I made fun of him last season. I was like, why is this guy, like, in Dwayne's last game in Brooklyn, like, Duncan's playing all the minutes? And I was like, why? What is going on? Like, is he part of their future? And he comes into camp kind of buff. And I was like, okay, Duncan, I see you. I was like, look at you. You play well in summer league. And this guy has been holding his own defensively. He's shooting lights out. He's been awesome. He could, like, actually, like, dribble, like, off a closeout, which I'm like, whoa, look at this. He had dunk, sneaky athletic.
Duncan is third on the team in blocks per game, so that's fun.
Come on, wow. Like that, dude.
Everyone in the organization considers him the best 3-point shooter in the building, bar none.
Yeah, I mean, who the hell else would be? Like, he's so good. I mean, I guess maybe Tyler, but Duncan's a lot more polished shooter. I've been so surprised. Like, I don't know. I don't know when everyone gets healthy if you can sit him. I think what he adds is valuable to a team that I think has questionable offense at times, and I do think that what he provides is good, and I don't think he hurts you defensively that much.
How do you feel about him starting, though?
I mean, I've been, like, big on, like, not starting Nunn and starting, although he's kind of proven me wrong in that, because I did think he'd be more of a defensive liability, and the shooting I didn't expect from Nunn. But I kind of wanted them to start, like, Justice, Jimmy, and then plus wing who could shoot and, like, not get killed on defense. So I don't know. I'm still a TBH. TBD.
Not TBD.
TBD.
To be honest, TBD.
To be honest, to be determined on how I feel about Doug. Would you guys want that over none? I don't know.
I have no idea.
See, this is why I feel like the Heat kind of need to consolidate a little bit and get a wing in there.
Ooh.
Because I do think, in theory, Duncan fits, but then you're looking at Goran and also Nunn and also Hero on the bench unit. And not only is that incredibly small, that's not very good either. Because your best defender out of the three is probably Nunn. And teams are starting to use his aggressiveness against him a little bit. Because he likes to jump screens, and that kind of leaves you susceptible to back cuts. And that isn't great when your rim protector on the bench is going to be Kelly Olynyk, or, you know, if he's playing with the starters and Bam is elsewhere, then you're looking at Myers Leonard. So I think Miami needs another wing. Like, if you're going to start Duncan Robinson, that's fine, but they're going to have to do something on the bench to get another wing in there. Like, ideally, that would be, well, for me anyway, you package Deion with, like, a Derrick Jones Jr., and you try to find a wing that maybe isn't great, but kind of fits a little bit better. Try to pry a Trevor Ariza, someone like that.
Ooh, I like what you're thinking.
A middling salary that can kind of fill that role for you. But Deion has things going on. Derrick Jones Jr. isn't the healthiest person in the bunch right now either. So I'm not exactly sure where the Heat go right now. And obviously, most contracts don't get freed up for trades until like December 15th anyway. So there's time to kind of look around to see what you can see, if you can mix and match.
Some dude was on Twitter saying, like, this is the longest the league has gone without a trade since, like, I don't know, like 2 decades or something. I was like, well, yeah, like half the league is ineligible to be traded. Like, it was so
some
much.
Dude. Yeah, I think it was Bobby Marks, man.
Was it? I didn't remember who it was. But you know how many tweets I see a day? Like, I can't remember what everyone's saying.
How about Jay Crowder? He fits.
I'm thinking more Andre Iguodala, guys. Think high.
Don't you think he's bound to go to a Western Conference team?
It makes way more sense to him to go to the Mavs. I like him on the Mavs. I'm stealing Zach Lowe's thing.
Yeah, the Mavs are all wing short, but
Zach Lowe was saying, like, Iggy to the Mavs, and I was like, damn, that makes so much sense. You're so right.
Goran for Iggy would be fun. I would just throw that out there.
But, like, there's,
I mean, Memphis doesn't have any reason to do that since they already have a bunch of point guards. But
I don't really want Iggy because, like, I think he's a suspect shooter, and I don't really want another suspect shooter. They have too many of them.
I mean, if you trust that Justice is going to bounce back, and I think he will once he...
So hold on, wait a second. You're going to have to trust that Justice bounce back. You're going to have to trust that Kelly bounces back. You're going to have to trust that Kendrickson shooting is legit. You're going to have to trust... You know, that's a lot of things to trust.
Okay, we have, if you want to go back to college, like Kendrick Nunn was one of the most prolific shooters in college basketball, and he did a lot of that stuff off the bounce. So I think that's fine. Justice has shot 38% from three over the last 2 years. Kelly Olynyk is, what, a 35, 36% three-point shooter. I think that's mostly going to be fine, especially with the quality of looks that he's getting. The only person you're really worried about is Iggy.
Yeah.
So, within that context, I don't think that would be that big of a deal.
I just think that when you have an offense that, like, they're kind of middle of the pack offensively, and I think that that's what they're going to be, you know, I think that adding a non-plus shooter is probably, like, not the best idea.
What about Doug McDermott?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, are you hearing things, Leif?
This is a bargain bin that they're in.
What a resounding response from you guys on that guy.
And they're hard caps, so, like, they can't even, like, be players in the buyout market where, like, they have historically been really good. Like, they've always found guys in the buyout market that, like, want to come here. And, like, I mean, who doesn't want to come from Miami for a couple months in a playoff run? Like,
they'll have a vet min after January.
I mean,
well, they won't be able to use their middle exception, which they still have, but they can't use it all these because, yeah, they're hard cap.
So after January, right. They're hard cap, like they can give out a mid level.
They can give out a veteran minimum contract.
A minimum. So yeah. Let me ask you this, and I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, Brian. So I either heard or read today that Deion, because he's suspended for 10 games, which we're about to get into.
Yep.
He is not eligible for a playing bonus, which is like $1.2 million. Does that count against the hard cap, or that's just something separate?
No, he should save money overall on what they have to pay Deion, but it does not lower their
hard
obligation
cap.
Towards the hard cap and also the luxury tax. They're currently $4 million over luxury tax.
Yeah, who cares about that? I care about
and the hard cap is $5 million over. So basically, you're like, you're right there. You're like $1 million, just below the hard cap.
And although it doesn't have cap ramifications, trust me, the organization is happy to save every dollar when they're over the luxury tax.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this suspension is saving Heat $800,000 on just the, what he has to, what they have to pay him for his contract because he's suspended without pay, and then the $1.2 million in the signing bonus. That's $2 million they're saving.
Listen, nobody was happier at that Andy Slater tweet than Mickey Arison. He's like, "Woo, we saved money." No, I'm kidding. Andy Slater reports that there was some sort of a medical incident on the plane going from Phoenix to
LA. He reported that he had a overdose and a seizure.
It felt a little reckless, Andy. Andy Slater out here.
It was a little reckless.
Yeah. Andy Slater.
Woj and Windhorse co-reported, confirming half of the story. But yeah, it was just Dion had a panic attack.
Bro, you go from an Andy Slater report to Woj and Windhorse. It's just like, whoa, that escalated quickly. Because like that probably never gets talked about if Andy Slater doesn't report it, right? Because Andy Slater reports that, right, with such like aggressive details. And then Woj comes, starts snooping around. And then they're like, all right, we're going to give you the real stuff because this whole OD thing is irresponsible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it was a lot.
But yeah, it was an ETD gummy. I don't know what ETD stands for, but
where's Alf? Or where's Alex?
It's it's weed, basically.
Humans have been shaving for thousands of years. And the secret to a great shave? It hasn't really changed much. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you to add gimmicky features to their razors. They focus on delivering what actually matters. Sharp, durable blades at a fair price. And I love Harry's because it gives me a close shave, easy glide for a low price. Do us a favor and check out harrys.com/bluewire for your free trial today. And Harry's is a return to the essential. Quality, great blades at a really fair price. It's just $2 per blade, guys. It's the most convenient thing you can ever ask for. The blades refills are super, super easy and they're delivered directly to your door on your schedule. And you don't need a subscription. And there's no risk for you to try them out. If you don't like it, you can just return them and you'll get a refund. Listeners of my show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for firm grip. You get a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves by saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or, sorry honey, Kyle Lowry just didn't have a good game today, I'm not really feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about, with a real doctor who can prescribe you real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and most importantly, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/bluewire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be a tough thing to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a real doctor to take care of it. Just get to roman.com/bluewire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/bluewire for a free visit to get started. getroman.com/bluewire.
The main thing to know is that this is not the first incident, reported or not reported. The Heat are done with him. He's had his lowest trade value so that they're essentially in a spot where they can't move him. They can't cut him. They don't want him around the team. So, I mean, this is just, it's become about as ugly as they could have anticipated it. And it's just, it's one of those contracts that you scratch your head every time you think back to that summer. With the ankle and the surgery and just everything that went around it, it has been a complete mess.
We all make mistakes, baby.
To Leif's point, the Heat, even if they really wanted to, they couldn't even waive him right now.
So no more stretching.
The only way they could even do it is they have to agree to a buyout. I don't think Dion's ready to do that right now.
I don't think Deion's ready to give back money. Listen, Deion will take a check and stay home.
I mean, the Knicks, they got to want him, right? We can, like, we got to get somebody from the Knicks.
Like, honestly, I have to be frank. Like, okay, like, the story's funny. Like, let's call a spade a spade. The story's funny. Deion had a, I mean, it's not funny that he had a panic attack. That's not funny, obviously. That's horrible. If you've ever had a panic attack, it's something that you never want, okay? People in my family have panic attacks, and it's honestly, like, even for me, the non-panic attacker, it's like a horrible situation to watch someone go through that. It's awful. Moving on from that, the fact that a guy, the most, probably the player that fans look at as the most irresponsible one on the team is the one that this happens to on a plane in which there was a stop in Denver on the road trip. It's a little humor in that. And then apparently there was a report that a teammate gave it to him and Deion won't snitch as to who it was. Which is also a great element to this.
Yeah, Shams reported that. Was actually reported by Shams.
Shams could have basically tweeted, I ain't no snitch, and then like, dash Deion Waiters, right?
Who does Shams have to ask for that to be confirmed?
I don't know, man. Who, man, like, and I was talking to
an agent saying that? That has to be the agent, right?
That probably is the agent.
Absolutely.
That's the agent putting blame on someone.
Oh, yeah. Who's the agent blaming? This is like a narrative-based story that's been made up, and, how noble of him to not, you know, tell anyone who it is.
Is it because he's scared of him? Stitches. Like, is it Udonis? Like, I'd be scared of Udonis. I'd be scared of James Johnson,
I mean,
too.
If it's UD or JJ, you ain't saying shit because you're going to get that ass whooped. So those two we're going to remove from the possibilities.
I don't think UD uses gummies, right? Like, UD is an old school guy. Like, UD's like not with this whole millennial fandangled, you know, edible cookie brown. UD's old school. UD's not doing that. I don't think it's UD.
I have a person in mind.
Yo, let's blame Hassan.
I was thinking out of the box.
Brian.
I think it's Tyler Johnson, guys.
Revenge for training him for Phoenix.
Well, let's put it together. So it happened between the trip from Phoenix to Los Angeles, that plane ride. Who was the last team that he played? The Phoenix Suns. Who's on the Phoenix Suns? Tyler Johnson.
A cue X-Files music.
What if it was James Jones?
Light years!
Crack the case.
Light years ahead.
Breaking news.
He's doing Riley Favors. You love to see it.
That he really needs salary relief and JJ being a Heat lifer.
Hey, they helped out with Tyler. Can he help out with Deion?
Pat and that's James Jones
a, that's such
to
a
that.
Move. That's a trade deadline
to
move.
To some.
We give DJJ back to the Suns with Deion.
The Heat and the Suns trade a lot.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say that. They're always making trades with them. He's probably like, listen, if you do this for me, one day I'll send you 2 first-round picks for a player that doesn't want to be there anymore.
The transaction, I'll say.
That is the move. I don't know, guys. Like, I think the move with Deion is to try to get him back to play. Like, I don't think Deion's a bad player. You guys don't think Deion's a bad player. Like,
I just don't know how he's going to get playing time. That's the thing.
This rotation is weird because they have too many. Like, I think even at the forward spot, like, we've talked about this a bit. Well, like, they have too
many
guys.
He could have had playing time if he was playing on a team, if he wasn't spent at the beginning of the season, because obviously Jimmy Butler was out for those first few games. So he could have probably.
And now with Justice. I mean, there definitely could be spot minutes for him, but I don't think he's willing to accept that. In Charlotte, when I was there in the preseason, he like straight up was not having it. Nikias was there too. I mean, he shot that down faster than anything. So I think he was making it abundantly clear. So.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Detroit needs a guard who can handle. Like, they don't want him.
They could.
I mean, for what at this point?
That's the thing. Like,
Thon Maker and Langston Galloway.
I think the thing with Deion that makes it weird is that his contract ends exactly when you want it to end, when you want cap space. So it's like, do I really want to take any longer-term money just to get him out of the building? Which I'm, like, not a fan of, right? Like, at that point, I'm just like, okay, you pay him and he just stays home, whatever. Like, what can you do? Like, I wouldn't give up flexibility. Like, I don't think it's about these 2 years. And it's kind of Leif why, like, you're, like, saying, like, maybe make a trade or something. I'd kind of be careful because I would not sacrifice their flexibility in 2021 for anything because I don't think they're championship good. Like, unless they show you something, like, from now until February that you're just like, wow, Like, if Justice starts, like, hitting, like, a bunch of threes and you're, like, you're just, like, this guy's really good and Jimmy Butler finds his offense and he's having a career year and you have, like, all these, and Kendrick Nunn finds his, like, first week of the season self for, like, a sustained period of time and you're just, like, oh, man, they could make a finals appearance. Then we start talking about it. But, like, if they're just kind of what they are now, I just don't think you really touch them. Like, you just kind of leave them and you kind of ride this out. Unless something really good becomes available, you just, you kind of ride it out. Because, like,
they right, so who's this really good player that you think might become available?
Who, me? I'm just, like, speculating.
You no, know. I'm not talking about all you guys. Like, who do you think the Heat might try to target?
But the, I don't want to do this show. Is. But like I don't want to do the trade
Giannis
show like,
in 2021 free agency.
I think it's going to happen sooner than that. I think it's going to be a trade. I mean, even before I pivot to that, like if we think about what to do with Dion, does it make sense at all to look at when your contracts, the expirings are lining up for 2021 and packaging an expiring Myers Leonard? I know he has a prominent role currently, but could you take his $11 million with Dion's $11 million and get a $22 million player that expires that year in 2021.
So you're trying to reverse engineer what they did with Hassan, where they split Hassan's contract into two smaller contracts. Now you're trying to send two bigger contracts into one, two smaller contracts into a bigger contract.
Just in an effort to not compromise 2021, but get, you know, Dion off the team and maybe upgrade at that four spot.
Does it sound like Marvin Williams?
I don't know. But, you know, essentially it's tough to find a deal that really works.
Marvin?
I mean, we've talked about that. The money doesn't work perfectly. I think a third team would have to get involved there with the hard cap stuff.
Ugh, God, so much third team stuff. All right, so I don't want to do a trade show because we've done a lot of trade shows and we're living in the moment, people. I do want to talk about the defense because that's their best attribute. And I'm kind of curious as to what you guys think about this because I was kind of looking at some numbers and we've watched film and stuff. The Heat are first in opponent three-point percentage defense. They allow like 28% shooting from three. The only issue is that the Heat are 28th in opponent three-point attempts. So they allow a lot of three-point attempts. What are the most of the league? They're fourth highest. And they allow the 14th most points of the paint, which is middle of the pack. And I think we know the Heat defense is good, but some of those numbers seem weird.
Yeah, I would imagine that the three-point shooting is probably going to regress a little bit to the mean.
Well, then what does that mean for their defense?
I mean, that would make it slightly worse if teams actually start hitting their shots. But I do think the Heat are mostly doing a good job of, like, allowing bad shooters to take shots. And that's kind of been the hallmark of, like, the Brad Stevens Celtics, to where they, even if they allow threes, like, they got the people they want taking the threes to take the threes.
Milwaukee,
so I don't think that's as big of an issue. And if anything, like Miami's kind of been dialing up those wing traps. We saw that in the Houston game. We saw that in the Phoenix game some too. If anything, if they want to cut down on how many threes they're giving up, they could probably dial that down a little bit and just go back to more of their drop scheme and kind of trust that their guards can fight over. So I think there are quick fixes to that if teams do start getting back to their getting back to like league average shooting from three. So I'm not worried about the defense that much at all.
Okay. You know what? Honestly, like you talked me off the ledge a little bit because I was telling Leif that and Leif and I were kind of like making faces at that. And we're like, it's not a little concerning.
No, well, you expect those numbers to obviously regress in certain aspects. And it can be troubling when you think about the combination of the two regressing. But, you know, like Justice hasn't played too. And you referenced that number early on and we've gone too damn stats heavy. Can you imagine when Alf hears this podcast, he's going to roll over his grave.
Dude, we had snitch talk.
But for real, Bam and Justice has been really, really impressive to watch. And I think just seeing Jimmy integrated with that and any of these other guys that are kind of maybe defending a little better than we expected. So let's see that for a little bit. Like let's get 10 games of Justice before we make firm declarations on which way this is going defensively.
I think it's kind of weird. Like we're basically about a shade under an eighth into the season. And it's like, you're trying to have these conversations about who they are and what they can be. And they've kind of been weirdly injured because Jimmy missed the first couple games. Now Justice has missed a couple games. Like Bam has been the only guy that's been like consistently there, right? That you've had none already have like a couple up and down, no games, you know, Hero's been pretty solid. Kelly has been kind of looks like he's working himself back in. So yeah. It's been a bit of a weird start.
They've been new and they've been fun. And like, those are the two things that I think Heat fans wanted. They wanted a new roster. They wanted new faces. They wanted a new mix of players. They got that. There's been fun moments, obviously three losses. I mean, 6-3, I actually feel really good, especially with this stretch of the schedule. Like, that's the thing. Looking forward, these next six games or so, this is where we kind of truthfully find out what kind of team we're looking at. Is this a 50-win team or a 44-win team? It's when you capitalize on these stretches, when you have winnable games, mainly at home. So, you know, you expect to lose in Denver, and the Lakers game is going to be tough, especially no Justice. But this homestand and the games following after it, the next six, seven games, they tell us a lot more, I think, in terms of like the trajectory of how good they can really be.
So let's run this through. They have Detroit, they have Cleveland, they have New Orleans, they have Cleveland again, they have Chicago, and then they have Philadelphia. And they're at Philadelphia. That's on the 23rd of this month.
Back to back or no?
That is a back to back.
Give me all the Jimmy in that game.
Friday, Saturday, back to back. Why is the NBA schedule doing that? Oh my god! At least they have the Bulls the night before. They suck.
Bulls actually have been sneaky good this year.
Kobe White.
The Bulls have not been sneaky good. The Bulls have been like the
Bulls have been kind of a miss.
They've been they're 3-7. They're a disaster. Yeah, I don't know what he's sneaky good to who. Sneaky good lottery team.
Lost to the Knicks. But you list those six teams, and like that sounds like five bad defenses.
Yeah.
I would kind of pencil the Chicago game, because while they're a bad defense, they do turn people over because they're blitzing. They're basically playing like the Heat 2012. Yeah. They're blitzing every pick and roll imaginable.
Except without LeBron. Yeah.
So you are that's when we're going to test and see. Like,
let's deconstruct that.
Whatever.
You're like, they're playing like the Heat in 2012. They're doing this. And you're totally right. Except they're doing it with Lauri fucking Markkanen.
Yeah. I mean, they're first in the league in opponent turnovers. So
I know. Yeah. The Heat are second.
Yeah, they're turning teams over. It's just, you know, once the pass gets made, they are bleeding points from everywhere. So that's why I'm saying Gorn's had, like, I feel like this is the best passing stretch of Gorn's career.
And absolutely. He's even attempting pocket passes. I'm so proud of him.
He's been throwing pocket passes. He's been throwing nice lobs to Bam. There was this ridiculous corner pass to Tyler Hero in the right corner against the Suns, I want to say.
Yes.
That he threaded the needle on. Yeah, he's been doing a darn thing.
Remember how much he used to struggle throwing lobs to Hassan? And we used to always say, oh, Gorn is more of a bounce passer. He's not a lob thrower. And now, like, you see Bam, he's skying through the air and he's hitting him with a pinpoint pass.
Leif,
Gorn and Hassan just never mixed.
Leif, do you remember when we were analyzing if Gorn was throwing bounce passes too low for Hassan?
Yes,
those are shows that we did. We're like,
those were dark days. Yeah, how did we make it through that? Like, that's how a successful podcast happens, if you can call us that. Is that we went through the Hassan Gorn bounce pass days?
Like, hey, is that pass too close to his ankle? Maybe that's why. Like, because we're like looking at the numbers, like they don't play well together. Is it because Gorn's passing the ball too low and Hassan's too tall? And then we're like, oh, see, look, Dwayne throws it up. That's how. That's Man, those are the days.
Oh man, I'm glad Gorn is actually attempting semi-difficult passes now. I'm very proud of him.
I am too. He's like, just like as a guy, you just root for him. He's such a nice man. Like, you talk to him, he's so nice, and he plays hard, and you love that. And what was he doing? He was drawing at the Phoenix bench the other day, or he was just like making faces. It was great. He was hitting threes. He looked like he was having fun.
I love Bam and Justice, or Bam and Jimmy's passing is contagious.
It's good. They're like, they're zipping the ball around all over the place. They're a high turnover team, but I think that that's partly because they pass the ball a lot. Although they've been getting that down. I think the last two games have been under 15, which is really positive.
So quick question for y'all. Who is rank the best three passes on the team right now?
Jimmy, Justice, Bam.
Okay.
I think in that order.
Leif, what would you say?
Definitely Bam and Jimmy. Wow.
Are you thinking Kelly versus Justice?
Yeah, that's where you got me. I don't know. I guess I'll say Justice, because I mean, how the hell are we gonna have our starting point guard not be one of the top three passers on the team? Like, that's a major issue that I think we need to have a whole nother show on if that's the case. And the fact that I'm even having that internal dialogue maybe says something about that. But he started out a little rough. I'm backtracking. But yeah, I would say justice. But Kelly is, in the right situations, I think Kelly makes really smart reads. And it's kind of like the hockey assist deal.
Can I say, Kelly. I think Kelly is a better standstill passer. Like when they're stationary, Kelly's a better passer. But Justice can pass off the dribble. He can make quick decisions that I don't think Kelly makes as quickly when he's on the move.
Yes.
Amen.
What do you got, Nick guys?
I'm asking y'all because I genuinely don't know. Like this is. Just
are you asking this because are you debating whether or not like Justice should defer to Jimmy and let him be the point forward on the team?
Oh no, like I'm, because I've seen like really good passing flashes from all of them, so I'm really just trying to okay. get a list going. Like this is just a random thought for me.
He's outsourcing his yeah. call.
I mean, when you see Justice get a full head of steam and make some of those wraparound passes to the edges, like it's hard for me to not put him in the top three. It's just. There's moments there where things get a little clumsy and discombobulated and some, you know, that just gets a little worrisome.
He's like, you know, I think when you have a smart athlete, you associate them with being incredibly coordinated. And I think maybe Justice is a rare case where you have a really brilliant athlete who's maybe not the most coordinated. It's a weird intersection. So it looks odd. And I think that might be why people have issue with his game, because I think if he was a little more coordinated, I don't think people would think like these things about him. Like, I don't think people would call him Bustus and all these things. Like, I don't know. How do you feel about my working theory?
Like, he does have like an awkward cadence to him. I also think that's what makes him
off.
Yeah, I feel like that's what makes him effective, especially as a passer. Because like he can get downhill so quickly. And then once he hits the intermediate area, there's a lot of shifting of speeds, and then he's up in the air, and then you think you have him pinned, and then he's flinging a bullet behind him somehow.
And it's just really strong, too.
Yeah, it's a weird ordeal with Justice.
I mean, Goran's getting 5 assists a game. Are we, like, completely forgetting him?
He's not. No, dude, he just started accepting pocket passes.
I need to see more from
Goran. Baby steps. Baby yeah. steps. Is it Justice averaging, like, 8 assists?
I think Justice is like right around 5, but obviously he hasn't played much.
Like you were reading his averages for the season and it was like ridiculous. He's averaging 14 points. He's averaging 14 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists.
25% 3-point shooting.
Bang, bang. Dead eye.
39% from the field, 59% from the line. Please improve.
The free throw shooting is what scares me.
Seriously, though, like that kind of stuff, I've been really kind of giving Justice a pass. The preseason, it was a little concerning, and I kind of shirked it off like whatever. It's kind of started out this way, but now we have the concussion and some of the lower back stuff and integrating with Jimmy. But, I mean, there's going to come a point where we're going to have a conversation about is he too hot and cold? Because when he's hot, I mean – you know, all I can, you know, think about is all the times Nikias was drilling home point guard, head of the snake. Mm-hmm. And then you see these, you know, these stretches too that get a little weird.
If Justice scores, I immediately have the Justice Better song like playing in my head and I'm dancing.
Nikias told him.
It's true. Yeah, I actually haven't minded his floor game much this year. Like he's obviously trying more of the intermediate stuff. He's trying those floaters and stuff. So that's kind of tank this field goal percentage. I'm fine with him taking those within the floor of the offense, and he has been. I would be more concerned with his shot selection if they were forced, and I don't think that's really been the case. You obviously need to see him go down, because if they don't, then he needs to adjust how he plays, and that's going to be an adjustment on top of learning how to play with Jimmy, on top of learning how to play with Bam, who has higher usage. So that's going to be a lot, so it's definitely important for him to pick that up soon. But as far as the way Justice has played, I really haven't had much of an issue with him, so I'm not too worried. He does need to work out the form stuff. He looks like he's got some inconsistent mechanics going on. Like he's trying to quicken his release. He looks like he's trying to work through that. So we just got to see more.
How much do you think he's a ceiling raiser for them? Because, and I heard Zach Lowe talk about this, about DeMar DeRozan last mm-hmm. week with Chris Herring, and he said that DeMar is not a ceiling raiser, but he's a floor raiser, right? So when you have DeMar on your team, you're not going to be a bad NBA team, but he doesn't necessarily raise your ceiling. And I was kind of thinking about that in terms of Justice, because I don't think he's a floor raiser because he's not like a hub or anything. But I kind of looked at him as if he plays to the ability that we think he's capable of, I really do think that raises their ceiling in a significant way because of the position he's playing, because of what he can do defensively, because of who's in the East, especially a guy like Ben Simmons, who's going to also be playing point guard, who he'd be able to defend. And just if he plays to the best of his abilities, as we think he can, like, I think this team has a shot of winning a second round series. Like, I dead ass think that. Like, yeah, if he's on, I think they can do it.
Yeah, like, I think he's definitely a ceiler. He just unlocks so much of what the Heat want to do on both ends of the floor. Like, he allowed, especially with Hassan gone, now you have Bam at the five in their best lineups anyway. Like, it allows them to play small without being small. If they do want to go big, Justice is a guy that can still hang on the perimeter against smaller guards. He can knock down shots if you have Jimmy playing more on the ball. Like, Justice can unlock so much for the Heat, and that's why it's really imperative for him to start knocking down shots. But, I mean, that's really...
In those small lineups, like, that you just referenced, like, who do you want at power forward? Because the Kelly-Bam stuff hasn't really worked out this season. They're minus together on the court, and I'm kind of wondering, like, when they do want to go small against, like, good teams, maybe not Philly because they're just, like, enormous, but, you know, pretty much everybody else in the league, like, what do you
do? It's like Boston, for instance.
That'd be good. Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee, I think that you can probably play similar small lineups against them.
Well, Boston against Milwaukee, they were playing with Kelly and Bam together towards the end of that game. And that worked out pretty well, actually.
Well, they're bad this year.
But that worked out that game, at least.
Oh, Giannis also fouled out.
I think ideally, if you're going to go small, you would probably want JJ at the four, but that would have to be like the one night per week that he has his 3-point shot going. Kind of make that work. But I think ideally, you'd be looking at like Bam, JJ, Justice, Jimmy, and then Kendrick Nunn if he has the shot going, Tyler Hero if he has the shot going, Duncan Robinson if he's blocking shots, which has been a thing this year, which is weird. But
I love it.
I was just gonna say, I think Duncan Robinson's an underrated option if they really need to go super small. If a team sizes down on them,
I like what you're thinking, Leif.
Get Duncan, Jimmy, Justice. I feel like you have enough people that just get disruptive. If Kendrick Nunn is another guy that's in, that you can kind of maybe hide Duncan Robinson up there for a little bit and just be a floor spacer, kind of like what they did with Luke Babbitt a little bit.
Babbitt can have it. Missed that guy.
What a time, man. The Luke Babbitt era.
We made it through that era, too.
Oh my God. So many bad Luke Babbitt jokes. Come out the other side, guys. We come out. They're fourth in the East. They're good. We're talking about winning a second round playoff series.
Yo, it was so fun watching Jimmy go crazy in that half in Phoenix. It's like, oh, so this is what it feels like to have one of these guys that can just not be stopped for periods of time. And I know Dwayne did that here and there.
But
it was in smaller spurts, and we knew it was coming to an end. Whereas this is like the beginning of the journey with Jimmy. So I don't know. This week, even though there was, you know, a win sandwiched by two losses, it was fun to watch him do his thing.
I went to the Heat Hawks game with our own Christian Hernandez, statistician and photoshopper, and it was Jimmy's first game of the regular season. And there was just a play where he just gets the ball in the wing, and he's kind of just staring down the defender, and he just goes, I'm going to the rim. And he goes to the rim and he gets fouled. And I was like, wow, they have a guy that can do that. Like, holy crap, it's been so long.
We made it out.
We did it, guys. He can get to the free throw line whenever he wants.
Gee, wait till we see that against the Pelicans next week.
Oh, yeah.
Or this Saturday.
Find us there. Tweet us, say hi. Brian and I are going to be there. Yeah.
Best man, thanks.
I love how
you not want to do this?
Huh?
Why are you so upset?
That's just a weird, it was a weird factoid to throw in.
Who cares?
Huh?
Who cares?
Say hi to us. Come say hi to us and Alex Toledo, Alf 954.
Yeah, we'll probably see Alf.
Well, maybe Ethan's there. Check out Nikias and Leif's work at Five Reason Sports, fivereasonsports.com. Check out Brian's future work at fivereasonsports.com.
Yo, my laptop's going to die in 11%.